You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Darren Owen, Craig Forsyth and Andrew Mount in the studio. We've got Hamilton, Lingfield and Market Racing on Wednesday afternoon, Kempton, Newton Abbott and Goram Park in the evening. So a busy Wednesday in store. Do tune in for all of that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by John Babb. How are you, John?
Very good, thank you, Mark. Nice sunny morning here at lunchtime here in Leeds. Had a nice little walk around.
Yeah?
Feel better for it.
Bit of sunshine on your back.
Yeah. I wouldn't say fresh air, but it was air.
Right. We should talk about the Derby and the Oaks really at the start of this podcast, John, because we've had breakfast with the stars at Epsom just before we started recording this. And obviously trainers making rather positive comments about their horses. So we'll just take a look at the markets as they stand at the moment. We'll start with the Oaks, Minding even money, Ballydoyle 9-2, Evensong 7-1, 8-1 for Turret Rocks, Skiffle, who needs to be supplemented, is 14s, somehow also 14s and 16s or bigger for the others. The news from Aidan O'Brien this morning is that Minding is fine after bumping ahead on the stalls at the Curragh at the weekend. The sinus problem doesn't look to be too serious, and she had a light canter this morning, and the aim is to see how she's at the start of next week. So if she's all well at the start of next week, is she still the one to beat in the Oaks?
Yeah, undoubtedly. She'll obviously go off still a strong favourite. Obviously the stamina thing's still there, but she's the class horse of the race. Whether the conditions were quite right for her, obviously that we've had the stalls issue, but they still drew 10 lengths clear in a classic of the rest of the field. And a 1,000 guineas performance here is probably the strongest piece of form on offer. But no doubt, if she's well on the day and Aidan decides to run her and she stays, I think she wins. Obviously, it's a little bit unclear. I don't think people should be looking to go in and back her at even money at the moment. You'll get those sort of things on the day.
Yeah.
There will be offers. The other thing to consider with these two classics, I think there's been a lot of money done on some short-priced horses in the last few weeks that have suddenly got themselves up to the top of the market. Now they're not running for various different reasons. The bookmakers have some money in the satchel that they'll be able to offer you some kind of an offer or incentive on the day. There always is offers on these big days, particularly on the Saturday on Derby Day. But there may well be on Oaks Day as well. There'll be enhanced bonuses, maybe only for half an hour or whatever. Somebody might be offering you 6-4 Minding for half an hour. Hopefully it'll be William Hill.
Yeah.
And if you decide you want to play that day, then that's the time to get involved.
Yeah, I mean, that's with regards to the favourites for the markets usually, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
There could still be value elsewhere in the market.
Yeah.
So what else appeals
in
there?
Well, I mean, like last year, obviously, the yard won with a big outsider. And, you know, everybody's sort of put it up to people. I wouldn't think there's many people now that don't realise that over a mile and a half, those very low draws, 1 and 2, have got a bad record, etc. And you want to see where the pace is in the race, what front runners there are. It's very difficult at this stage without knowing what is. I would sit out at the moment. I think people have tried to guess this sort of race, probably done a few quid in. I think now's the time just to take a sit back, wait for the 48-hour decks, and if you think the ground's not going to change at that stage, start having a good look at the 48-hour stage now. I don't think there's a lot of mileage in the market at the moment.
Just talk about a couple of other fillies then before we move on to the Derby. Turret Rocks, trained by Jim Bolger. He's commented today saying she's well, and he left her a bit short at Newmarket. So he says that race will set her up nicely, and she's currently 8-1 in the market. Could be one of the each way angles into the race.
Definitely, and very much a trainer to be respected. He's had plenty of good fillies through his hands, and would be a runner on the day for sure.
And one other to mention, Skiffle, still needs to be supplemented. Last seen winning Higher Fashion Stakes.
Those Goodwood race, the Predominant and the Higher Fashion, they sort of lost their way quite a few years ago, probably because they're a little bit close to the race, really. And they've not been the greatest of trials in recent years. But because the race is so uncertain this year, all of a sudden, people are looking for something. It won. I'd have thought it'd be a close call whether they actually decide to stump up the money for that one, to be fair. I mean, and they'll probably try to leave it as late as possible to see whether minding's going to run, etc., etc., whether they're just going to decide to wait and go for a fillies race at Royal Ascot. I wouldn't really be one for me. She didn't blow me away, really.
John Ferguson has looked to clear up the matter a little bit.
Right.
By not clearing up the matter at all, he says it's a definite possibility that they may supplement her, which doesn't really say either way, does it?
Yeah. As I say, I wouldn't be surprised if they're waiting to see if there's a bit more clarity from Ballydor, really.
Let's move on to the Derby then.
But they'll play poker until the last minute, both of them.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah, of course they will, yeah. The Derby, we have 4-1 joint favourites at the moment. US Army Ranger and Wings of Desire. Wings of Desire still needs to be supplemented. Cloth of Stars also needs to be supplemented. He's 7-1 next in the market. Ulysses, who's been a bit of a gamble for the Derby, is 8-1. Deauville is 10s, 12s for Moonlight Magic, and 14s or bigger for the others. Aidan O'Brien saying that, he said it all along, really, that US Army Ranger's bit baby. She's only had his third start, and he'll come on and could be the improver in the race. So do you agree with that? Can he improve enough to win a Derby is a question.
Yeah, well, so he may well be able to improve enough to win what may be, you know, you don't get bad Derbies, but you do get different class of Derbies, but they're different class of good Derbies. Yeah, it can, but again, I'd want to see the setup of the race for the horse. Again, he's not with such little racing experience that you wouldn't want to see the horse being drawn on the extremes, outsides, etc. And I actually was a little bit taken with the one that ran in the race at Chester, Port Douglas. The only thing is he probably is a bit more of a prominent racer, and it's not really a race where you want to look to get with a prominent racer, really. Mm. The Derby, I always think of sort of, you know, you're looking for a midfield sort of strong travelling horse generally in the race. Although, having said that, years ago you used to get the likes of Slip Anchor who'd go from the front and win. So if you've got the right horse, undoubtedly. Ulysses was very impressive at Newbury. Obviously, it had come from the race behind Imperial Aviator at Leicester, and Imperial Aviator then went on then for the following day at Newbury to make himself. He destroyed a handicap there, and has already sort of shot himself out of handicap company for me, and he's already sort of looking like a listed Group 3 type performer already. If Ulysses, you know, Sir Michael Stout, and he had three runs, he'd know what it needs to win the Derby. A Son of Galileo, bred for the job. There's no real reason why he shouldn't. Again, he's in the same as the US Army Ranger, isn't he? Lightly raced, potentially improver. The thing is, he hasn't won a pattern race like US Army Ranger. But that's not to say he's not as good. And you know, he's probably been a little bit found by the punters recently. But at 8-1, I wouldn't put you off. For sure. It's Wings of Desire. If you'd have said to me after he won at Wolverhampton, do you think he'll go on and win the Derby? No way, really. Yeah. You know, he didn't look like a Derby winner waiting to happen at Newmarket. That was only in April, but he's progressing at some rate, because the Dante, as we all know, has probably been the best trial in sort of recent years, and he won it and won it well, probably not as well as some of the ones in recent years, again, but we could refer to, but he did win it. So, again, a very, very open race where, I'm giving chances to Wings of Desire. Port Douglas around about the 16-1 mark, if the setup of the race was right, that wouldn't put me off backing him. And again, I'll say Ulysses, and it's that open. We read yesterday that people are looking to sort of supplement the likes of Red Verdon, who's come out of the handicap company, and another one progressing at some rate. I'd be amazed if he could win a Derby, but it just goes to show what the trainers and the owners are actually thinking. They're thinking, hang on a minute, we've got a winnable classic here.
It shows just how many horses are being considered for supplementation, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a whole host of them in there.
And obviously, the supplement, it won't happen until Monday, because people will wait, and, you know, their horses will be cantered Monday morning, and if they're A-okay, I mean, he's talking about a £75,000 supplement. You're not going to play your hand and pay that sort of money right until the last second when you have to.
No. I suppose that's interesting that one of the supplemented horses could be Cloth of Stars. He's been at Epsom on Tuesday morning, apparently handled the track well, similar kind of route to Port Moir for Andre Farb a few years ago when he came over and worked at Epsom. And he's 7-1 in the market. Andre Farb saying he's got the class to win a Derby. You listen to trainers like that, don't you?
Oh, of course you do. These trainers, it's not as if they're just it's the best horse in the yard, so they're saying, oh, we can do this, we can do that. They know what it takes to win these races.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that he's bothered to bring it round, watch it go around the track, etc., before they're paying such a high supplementary fee. And if you're paying a £75,000 supplement, you've got to be fancying your horse strong.
Yeah.
I know these people aren't short of 75 grand, like me and you, Mark. So, anyway, it'll be a very interesting Monday morning next week. A lot of people will be waiting for the sort of confirmed entries come lunchtime next week.
All right, well, we'll leave that there. Obviously, plenty of water still to go under the bridge before we reach the Epsom Classics. Anything else on your mind, John, before we get stuck into Wednesday's action?
Well, I'd probably be more interested in looking at the entries for the cellar next week and things like that myself. that's where my level is. I don't pay supplementary fees. I pay £17 entry fees to go in cellars and claimers. That's where I belong.
Well, fair enough. You're doing all right at the moment, aren't you? You've got a few winners.
To be in all fairness. You know, it was nice to have a winner Saturday. I had another winner yesterday. Bit of a frustrating run last night. Mm. But, you know, the horse has come back okay. So, you know, we live to fight another day. No... We only lost a battle, we didn't lose the war.
Good stuff, good attitude. Right, let's move on to Wednesday's action then. John's got four races prepped for us. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
All right, we'll spin through these in chronological order. We start in the 3:05 at Hamilton Park, and this one is a Class 5 handicap. It's over 5 furlongs. It's for 4-year-olds and older, and a field of 11 to go to post here, John. And some informed runners here, the likes of Final Venture, who arrives in winning form. You've got Mitchum, who's arriving here on the back of a hat-trick. Little Belt has been knocking on the door. So how do you see this going?
Yeah, it is a tricky one. I mean, obviously, we got Little Belt and Final Venture, who both ran yesterday. Final Venture... You know, showed some boot yesterday at Carlisle, and he stayed on well up the hill when we had little questions. Would he see out the 6th furlong? But he saw it out well to beat another of Dandy Nichols's horses, Manatee Bay. Reopposed him today with who's going to be my selection here, Imperial Legend. Now, this is a bit of a leap of faith to tip a horse that hasn't won for such a long time like Imperial Legend, but I'm going to go with him. Obviously, Little Belter. We don't know whether these horses are going to line up. There's certainly still runners at the moment. Mitchum, as you say, will be another opponent that will help to make the market. He always used to go better at Redcar, and that used to be his favourite track. But he does go. He has won here as well, so he comes into it. Classian, another one that started to show a little bit of form. Another course winner for Jim Goldie, whose runners are going well at the moment. But Imperial Legend showed enough for me last time at Thirsk under today's rider Paul Quinn. To suggest that he'll be cherry ripe around about now. Dandy Sprinters have been showing enough form, and he's had a couple of winners recently, and he's keeping this old boy on the go. He's off a mark of 71. He hasn't been off 71 for a little while, until obviously he leapt through the ratings a few years ago when he was on a real good run with some wins up there in Scotland. And I'll take him to go back to Scotland and notch another win. He's won here, he's won at Musselburgh, I think he's won at Ayr as well. So he likes the Scottish Ayr. Imperial Legend for me in the 3:05.
Imperial Legend for John in the 3:05 then. On to the 4 o'clock at Lingfield next. We're on the turf at Lingfield on Wednesday. And this one is a Class 3 handicap. It's over 7 furlongs. We've got a field of 11 in this one. Where do you want to start in there, John?
Yeah, I think the market will be a little bit more of a guide here. We've got some interesting runners in the likes of George Sank with Tom Marquand on board, would have to be under consideration. Shown a little bit in both of his runs this year, and again, a six-year-old should be sort of cherry ripe now after a couple of seasonal runs. Carnival King, again, showed a little bit last time at Ascot, as though he might well be coming to hand now. And Brian Means popped blinkers on for the first time with Jimmy Fortune riding. He'd definitely be one for your short list. But the horse I would have to go for would be Spiriting. Roger Varian keeping this horse in training as a four-year-old. But he's been off 320 days. Now, the only thing, he has been backed a lot of times in his career, almost as if that they expect this horse to go on to be pattern class. He's got cheek pieces on tomorrow. As I say, always been well supported, but after a 320-day break, it may be prudent to see how much strength there is in the market with him. If he's weak in the market, obviously it's going to give us a little bit of a suggestion that he may well need the run. But Roger's found a race 76-90. He's running off a mark of 87, second top weight. It's not a strong race for the grade, really, to be honest with you. £11,500 race. I would expect Spiriting to win this if he was Cherry ripe and fit.
And they've set the piece on for the first time, haven't they, as well?
Yeah,
the
they have, yeah. Just yeah.
All right, Spiriting then for John in the 4 o'clock at Lingfield, and moving to Kempton next for their 7:20. This one is a Class 4 handicap. It's over 7 furlongs, a field of 14 to go to post for this one, and it's not getting any easier, John. This is quite an open race. This.
No, I mean, this one's probably even tougher than the previous two we've discussed. A very open affair, but I'm probably going to start to look down towards the bottom of the weights here. For my selections, and the two that sort of were on the shortlist, obviously I'm going to have to plumb for one of them, was Sovereign Bounty, who I thought ran very well last week at Wetherby behind Slemmy, and raced runners a reasonable time. And the only thing that is a bit of a problem really for Sovereign Bounty that we've got to look at is how he's going to transfer all of his turf form to the all weather, because he's never run on an all weather surface before. He's got a good draw. He's due to go up in the handicap at the weekend, and he looks the type. He's a decent travelling horse, and he looks the type that should go well, and he should be able to get out in front here, and I would think he'd get a good track position, and he's certainly one to consider. But the one I'm going to go for, just because he's got more artificial surface form, would be Golden Wedding. A little bit unlucky in a couple of his recent runs. Again, another horse that's due to go up at the weekend. I think he's due to go up £3, so he's £3 well in at Kempton. Got a reasonable draw in 6. Should be able to get a decent position. I'd expect him to be sitting just behind the leaders. And if he runs up to his form of last week, I'd expect Golden Wedding to go very close.
Golden Wedding for John in the 7:20 then, and we finish off in the 8:20 at Kempton. This one is a Class 3 handicap over 6 furlongs, a field of 12. We'll go to post for this one, and again it's open stuff, John. What do you make of Memories Galore to start with here, making his return from a bit of an absence?
Yeah, a good all weather performer for sure. I remember winning at Wolverhampton in a piece of form that worked out very well. Quite a lot of winners come out of the race, but I have to say this is a very tough reappearance to the track, whereas I sort of touched on Spiriting making a reappearance after even longer. But I do think the Spiriting race is relatively weak for the grade. I think for the 76 to 90, this is a really competitive affair. I would be struggling to get my big pen out and put it through any of these and say that won't be winning. You know, even you got the likes of Marachi Music off stall 12. I would be surprised if he'd win, but I'm not sure I'd get the big pen out and completely scratch his name out. And Fleck Earl drawn down in stall 1, I don't think he'll be winning tomorrow, but I wouldn't stake your life on it, nor mine. So, and they all of the others come under some consideration, and that none of the others will be big prices, I don't think. Even the likes of Michal could, if I'd fancy him a little bit if Michael Harrington's team were in a little bit more form. But it's a tough run. I'd love to see Yeo win for Carl Burke, because he's got tremendous track form around Kempton, and he's run some mighty races against the likes of Dugan in recent times, a race that was running in a good time. You know, I'd love to see that form franked. He's gone on and run well on the grass at Newmarket since, and he's a good solid performer who almost you can set your clock by him around Kempton, and he's almost sure to run a decent race, but he does find winning perhaps a little bit hard now, because the handicap has almost got him where he wants him, and he's open to ones with progression. The big lad, if he hadn't really flopped on the grass at Ascot, he'd almost certainly be coming here as favourite. But there's a little bit of a doubt because there was no explanation. But coming back to an artificial surface, a lot of people will be fancying the big lad. Merhoob, another one that would come under consideration, got good Lingfield form, ran well at Ascot last time out, a definite runner. Oh, but I'm just going to go with an each way stab, just on one of my old favourites, really. I've always liked Yeo, so I'll go each way with him, small stakes in a very, very tough race.
Mm. You got yard form on your side as well, haven't you? The Carl Burke yard ring.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Good stuff, John. Let's just have a little bit of a quick summary then before you go, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your 4 selections for Wednesday.
Yeah, no problem. Firstly, we got the 3:05 at Hamilton. Obviously got to watch the sort of market in the morning because there may be rule 4s here. There's a couple of horses that wouldn't be sure about their participation, but the one I'm going to side with is number 5, Imperial Legend. If we move on to Lingfield, an hour, sort of roughly an hour later in the 4 o'clock, the one that interests me most is the Roger Varian trained Spiriting, ridden by Andrea Razzini. And then just across the way at Kempton in the evening, 7:20, very tight handicap here. and I'm going to side with number 11, Golden Wedding, for Eve Johnson Houghton. And in the 8:20, an hour later, cut the Carl Berg trained Yeo.
Superb, good work, John. Been a pleasure, thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Wednesday.
Thank you very much.
There you go, the thoughts of John Babb on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. Darren Owen, Craig Forsyth and Andrew Mount will be the team in the studio. It's Hamilton, Lingfield and Market Racing on Wednesday afternoon, and Kempton, Newton Abbott and Gorham Park in the evening. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.